Are you nervous about the upcoming Great Eclipse triggering the National Guard to create a military dystopian state? Perhaps you've heard Alex Jones's InfoWars theories about a bloody revolution and the Great Reset for the occultists to take over. You may be concerned about our world coming to an end when the nerds at CERN fire up their Large Hadron Collider, or maybe even NASA shooting rockets into the sun for their snake god. Today we're going to unpack all the most popular theories of the Great Eclipse of 2024 and put it into context to see if we should be living in fear, or if we should enjoy this amazing astrological moment. Today we're going to talk about all the conspiracy theories you could ever want. The Israeli red heifer prophecy to the rebuilding of the second temple of Solomon, CERN's white rabbit, NASA's Egyptian Apep serpent god rockets, sex magic, Aleister Crowley's star sapphire ritual, the letters Aleph and Tav, Manly P. Hall's New Atlantis, earthquakes, the Devil Comet, the National Guard, 2001 A Space Odyssey symbolism, and of course, the alchemical black sun. My name is Isaac Weishaupt, and I'm your host of Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I've been podcasting for over 10 years with more than 15 million downloads. Thank you for listening. I've written 9 books on symbolism of the occult and how it fits into our world of entertainment, as well as countless appearances on shows like Coast to Coast AM, Eddie Bravo's Look Into It, and I'm an honorary member of Tinfoil Hat's Mount Crushmore. Join me as we put conspiracies into context on occult symbolism and pop culture. All right, folks. You'll notice I changed it up. I'm trying to learn how to do podcasting better. And one of those things is to do better, more informative and clear introductions. Okay, because there's a lot of new listeners who don't know who I am or what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to try to make these shows make a little more sense for the newbies. Okay. All right. Now, we've got a lot to get into today, so I'm not going to fool around. We're going to talk about symbolism of the eclipse of 2024. And I'm going to play a clip for you from Alex Jones's InfoWars, because it actually summates a lot of the conspiracy theories that have been floating around on social media. It actually does a really good job. But first, before we get into that, I actually blogged about the Great Eclipse symbolism back in 2017 on the golden age of blogging days at IlluminatiWatcher.com. And I'm going to paraphrase/read to you, because as you know, your boy got in some trouble and I took down all my blog articles. So yeah, I'm going to read bits of it for you. All right. We're talking about the eclipse from August 21st, 2017. And in the conclusion, I'm going to talk to you about my experience of going to the Path of Totality for that event. Me and Josie and our dogs, we went up to Idaho and I was in the Path of Totality, and I'm going to tell you the experience of it in the conclusion. Well, briefly, I'll tell you my thoughts on it. Let me start reading to you. It all goes back to the pagan history of stargazing, like the Babylonian stargazers, right? That's where all of the occult practices come from. And the eclipse is significant because, you know, they were watching the stars for all the planets and the movements and the sun and all this stuff. And the eclipse was significant because it demonstrates to them a message from God. Some people say it was a message of doom and destruction. But for us in our modern day context of understanding science and things like this, it's actually an amazing coincidence. The fact that the moon appears to cover up the sun entirely and leave what they call their ring of fire from our perspective on Earth is pretty astounding, especially, you know, because I'm an American living in America. To have it happen on American soil that you can see this is not a thing that happens often. It just so happens that we had it recently, but it's not going to happen again for many years in America. Now, you have to understand, in order for this coincidence to occur, the size of the moon must be 400 times smaller than the size of the sun, which of course it is. And the sun has to be 400 times as far from us as it is, as the moon is, which it is. And I should have looked this up, but I don't know that any other planet experiences a total solar eclipse in the whole solar system, right? Let me look it up. Does any other planet experience, and I'm talking about a total solar eclipse, not a partial, I'm talking about the full covering up. And you know, as time goes by, the moon moves further away from us and stuff. So, I mean, it's arguable that 100,000 years from now, it won't be the same experience. So I just Googled it real quick. It says Earth is the only rocky planet that has total solar eclipses. Venus and Mercury don't have moons. Mars's two moons are too small, not the right distance. Let's see here. But on Reddit, Ask Astronomy, someone asked if this is exclusive to Earth. It says, you know, it's probably rare. Total eclipse would cover it. Yeah, I don't know. They start nerding out real quick. But I'm pretty sure that's the truth. Don't quote me on it. Regardless, it's a pretty amazing experience to be living in this time on the soil of America where we experience. Of course, other countries experience this at other times. And, you know, great for them. I'm not trying to say this isn't a American nationalism superiority statement. I'm just saying it is a pretty amazing experience, especially in our day and age of technology where everything man-made is what we focus on and obsess over. People are obsessed with AI making movies and art. And like, I guess it's cool. I don't know. It's fine. So yeah, anyways, this goes back to the roots of occultism, back to the Babylonian astronomers. And this goes back to the Middle Eastern, Mesopotamian cultures. And they were all into the very pagan belief system of multiple gods, right? Including the infamous child sacrifice to Moloch, which ties us into modern day secret societies like at Bohemian Grove's cremation of care ceremony, which is a different creature. It's an owl named Minerva, but whatever. But in the world of astrology, there's various ideas about planets being in retrograde and such. And I'm not a huge student of astrology. I don't really understand it entirely, but the best way I could understand and describe it is that, because I've gone back and forth on whether or not I believe in the astrology stuff where people can tell you what your personality is like based upon where the planets were when you were born. I always think that's crazy. But someone put it to me like this. They said that when my experience of being there when the total solar eclipse happened in 2017, when the moon blocked the sun, it felt different. The atmosphere, the environment, I don't know how to explain it besides it just felt different. On top of that, you could tell that it felt cooler because it blocked the sun, right? It actually got colder. And you could just, but what I'm saying is you see the effects of the planetary movements having an effect on Earth, that as above, so below hermetic axiom, the hermetic wisdom of ritual magic and Thoth. And this all goes into ancient Egypt, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But it's true. I mean, the planets have an effect on our lives on Earth. So I don't dismiss astrology like I might have used to. Now, then we talked about on the blog about an episode of Hireside Chats with an astrology guy named Austin Kopak, an episode from 2017. And he was talking about how the eclipse happening during the presidency of Donald Trump was significant because eclipses are dramatic displays in the cosmos that drive dramatic change on the Earth, right? That as above, so below. And during that time, Donald Trump was returning from his 17-day vacation during that 2017 eclipse. And he talks about how the eclipse took place in the final degrees of Leo, which is Trump's ascendant sign, and all this stuff. And it's supposed to bring great intensity to Donald Trump. But one of the ideas was that the eclipse is believed to be a push to demonstrate one's inner thoughts and identifying with certain causes or beliefs. And that means whatever reservations Trump may have had in the past, as if he had any reservations, would be shoved aside and he's going to express his true, genuine thoughts or feelings because he would then be empowered by the eclipse. Which, in hindsight, I mean, he was always a very outspoken president, right? But the January 6, 2021, he was outspoken. He said, they stole the election. That was his belief. And he said it out loud, which has obviously got its own implications that we're not going to get into. But during this same period of Mercury retrograde, we have the Charlottesville white nationalist protest where one anti-protester was killed and, you know, a horrific moment. And there was a whole bunch of stuff that happened. Then I talked about 2001 A Space Odyssey, all right? Because I'm not geopolitical. I'm more, let's talk about entertainment and occult practices. And in 2001 Space Odyssey, we saw the symbolism demonstrated on the big screen. And the idea is that the Illuminati, or whoever these occult masters are, they understand how all these ideas of symbolism work, and astrology, and so on. And in Kubrick's Code, a book I wrote about Stanley Kubrick movies and the symbolism within it, we talked about the 2001 A Space Odyssey novel written by Arthur C. Clarke. And in the tale, it talks about the evolutionary history and future of mankind as we are enlightened through the black monolith, which appears during the eclipse, during the total eclipse. And the film demonstrates the importance of the eclipse for causing those massive changes in our world, including the very famous alchemical transmutation of David Bowman into the Star Child. Now, this event is very, you know, inspirational for various reasons. And when you understand the language of symbolism and how it plays an effect, I think that political leaders, occultists, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, they understand that you can time and leverage astrological events for massive impact on the psyche of the public. So keep that in the back of your mind. We're going to kind of go through some of these things. I want to play a clip for you. Shout out BP. My man BP came through with the clips. I'm going to play a clip for you. This is a video on Alex Jones's Twitter account from Greg Reese, reesereport.com. I don't know if he's a contributor to InfoWars or what have you, but take a listen to this clip. It's kind of long. It's going to be about 5 minutes, but it's going to you're going to be drinking from a fire hose. But don't worry, your boy's got you. When we get back, I'm going to unpack each one of these slowly. We're going to do it right, baby. So take a listen. Here we go.
The solar eclipse on April 8th is becoming a major event. The National Guard is being deployed, and the people are being advised to have 2 weeks of food and to fill their fuel tanks. This could all be explained due to the fact that tens of thousands of visitors are expected along the path of totality. But many people believe that they could be preparing for possible earthquakes due to the Devil Comet aligning with the April 8th eclipse, and due to the fact that in 1811, a comet also appeared in the skies during a solar eclipse on the same path and was followed by the biggest earthquakes in American history. Known as the New Madrid earthquakes, around 10,000 earthquakes occurred in just 3 months' time, the biggest being measured at 8.8 magnitude. They were the most devastating series of earthquakes in recorded history. But it was a different comet, and while some claim that a solar eclipse can trigger earthquakes, this scenario seems unlikely. This eclipse season is, however, a very rare event. The recent eclipses in August of 2017 and October of 2023, along with the upcoming one on April 8th, forms an Aleph and a Tav over the United States. The Aleph and Tav are the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. These eclipses mark the end of the great year, a 26,000-year period that starts anew with the dawning of Aquarius and a new golden age. Manly P. Hall wrote that high-level Masons designed America for a peculiar and particular purpose, a secret destiny to bring about a new Atlantis, or a new world order, wherein a king descended of a divine race will rule over all. In rituals, this king is symbolized as Apollo, Horus, or Nimrod, the father of Freemasonry, and is thought to be a descendant of the biblical Nephilim, or the Sumerian Anunnaki. According to Thomas Horn, this will happen in 2025, which corresponds to several documents published by intelligence agencies, such as Global Governance 2025, Global Trends 2025, and the 2025 Deagle Forecast on World Population. NASA is notorious for performing Masonic rituals based on the Egyptian mystery schools, Apollo being the same character as Horus, Sirius representing Isis, and Atlantis being the new golden age they hope to restore. And during the eclipse on April 8th, NASA will fire three rockets named after Apep, the Egyptian serpent god, whose goal was to devour Ra, the sun. And when the sun reemerges after 3 minutes of darkness, it will be likened to the rebirth of Horus, their new king of the Golden Age. CERN, known for practicing occult rituals at a statue of Shiva, the Hindu god who symbolizes death, destruction, and the end of an age, will be firing up their Large Hadron Collider to full power during the solar eclipse. And Israel, who is in the midst of committing genocide, is preparing to sacrifice a red heifer, a ritual sacrifice to prepare them for taking back the Temple Mount.
Red heifers, to be precise. Some Jews and Christians believe they're the key to rebuilding the historic Jewish temple in Jerusalem and to beckoning the Messiah. To understand, you have to go back nearly 2,000 years when the ancient Romans destroyed the last temple in the city. To rebuild it, these believers point to the Bible's Book of Numbers. It commands the Israelites to sacrifice a red heifer without defect or blemish and that has never been under a yoke. Only then can the temple rise again. Those sacred cows were showcased in Washington at a recent prayer gathering. Many evangelicals believe these red heifers will usher Christ's second coming.
And we need the Messiah to come, right? So for me, the red heifer is red for the blood of Jesus Christ.
A massive altar already awaits, where the heifers are to be burned.
According to some believers, the ceremony needs to be performed right here on the Mount of Olives, looking directly into where the temple once stood. But something else now stands in its place.
Once they forcibly take the Temple Mount away from billions of Muslims worldwide, it will predictably thrust the world into the peak of chaos that these secret societies have been designing for centuries. And their plan is to bring order out of this chaos, with their divine king to rule over the world. But these are just rituals, and fear is an illusion. We can always choose love. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, let's unpack this video, right? We've got talk about the National Guard, the Devil's Comet, the earthquakes, the paths of the eclipses being these Hebrew letters that mean the beginning and the end, Manly P. Hall's America's Secret Destiny, Tom Horn's intelligence agencies, NASA's occult rituals, CERN, Israel, and the red heifer, and rebuilding the Temple of Solomon, all that. And honestly, I actually like this video because I'm an old school conspiracy theorist, and my beef, you know, with Alex Jones specifically, I guess, is that you've got to be very careful the way you talk to people. There is a responsibility we have to let the people know that, hey, these are theories. Let's see if this is real or not. Here's the ideas, whatever. Let's play with this, right? Because I think that's important to free speech, is we are able to poke holes in ideas and sort of pitch different theories out there. I call this the Ancient Aliens effect, right? Because the show Ancient Aliens, if you watch it, they're basically telling us aliens created mankind. That's a pretty dangerous statement. But they're not saying that this is definitely the truth. What they're doing is they present ideas and theories and the evidence they have to support those theories. But that's exactly it. It's just a theory. And you can take it and believe it or not, right? I have friends that believe in ancient aliens. I mean, I watch those episodes and sometimes I'm like, man, is this true? This is wild, man. How do they build these things? But you got to give space for the observer, the viewer, to reflect on these ideas and come to their own conclusion and not get too fired up. And that's my only beef I got with Alex Jones, is he very much presents it as fact, when sometimes it's not. Like, look, take the S-A-N-D-Y-H-O-O-K thing, right? I just watched that whole documentary on HBO. It's kind of upsetting. But, you know, he's come out and since then and said, I think I maybe was wrong about that. You know, he's come out and said, and then which I commend him for. It's like, good. But you got to understand, you're riling people up, and now they're harassing people that their kids were murdered. This I watched it. I mean, and granted, it's a documentary, right? And I wasn't there to see if all this was true. But this one guy was holding his kid with a bullet in his head. And they on the show were talking about how that didn't happen. And this guy was an actor. And this guy was like, bro, what do you mean? Like, that was my boy. I mean, I couldn't imagine the trauma of dealing with that and then to have people come in and harassing, right? But I ultimately support the free speech, and like Alex Jones should be able to present theories about how these were crisis actors and stuff. But I think there's a responsibility you have to the audience to try to make sure that, and look, I get it. It's not an easy conversation. I don't know how you do all these things, how you thread that needle, right? But I think we got to find a way forward, because I don't want people getting banned from I want free speech, right? I'm not trying to, I don't want to see these guys get banned and sued and all this stuff. We got to be able to poke holes in things, because there's been plenty of psychological operations done to us that we have to question authority. We have to. We absolutely have to. I don't know what the balance is. I'm just saying there should be a balance. That's all I'm saying. But I thought this video was done very well. Of course, there's some fear baked into it. But, then, you know, that's every good conspiracy theory. You got to play some spooky music, because that's what, you know, that's conspiracy theory, man. It's not a safe zone. You're not in a safe zone. This is a dangerous, seedy subculture. If you're scared, go to church. But he does act, according to my standards, this is good. He's talking about the theories clearly, and what's theory and what's fact and what's not. I liked it. So kudos to, what's the guy named? Greg Reese. Now, and kudos to Alex Jones for making sure to present information in a very balanced way. Now, let's start unpacking the claims. First, let's start with the National Guard. This should be an easy one to talk about. I Google it. First Google result, Arkansas National Guard distributes eclipse glasses. Like, is that what we're afraid of? I was like, okay, no. Let's keep going. I go to this Houston News website, click to Houston News. And the irony of it is the news going to TikTok for information to share with the public, which I see on the local news in Utah all the time. It's like, social media, 15 minutes, let's talk about it. I'm like, bro, I was on social media. I don't need you. Anyway, they talk about this video of this guy on TikTok who claims he's a meteorologist. I don't know if he is or isn't. But it says that, okay, they talk about how the National Guard in Texas raised some eyebrows and sparked curiosity. Because anytime the National Guard or the military is doing some stateside things, people start tripping. Exercises, they're like, oh man, because Mayor Alex Jones was firing everybody up on some, what exercise was it going on in the Southwest a while ago? It was the hottest thing running, man, back in like 2016 or 17 or 15 or something. I think it was when Obama's last year. There was some exercise going on and man, they were bugging out. They're like, FEMA's getting the body bags. They're going to kill American civilians. Oh my God. It's pretty wild. Okay, according to TikTok user Todd Gross, the National Guard has been called to Texas to ensure the safety and security of the public during the solar eclipse. In the video, Gross explains the large influx of visitors expected in Texas has prompted the need for additional support from the National Guard. Quote, the total eclipse path is only 70 miles wide, and three types of folks are flooding into that 70-mile-wide path. Those from overseas that know how great a total eclipse is, and they're going to be coming on it. They're coming on it. Those that are eclipse chasers in the United States that have seen one before, that's me, and know how great a total eclipse is, they'll be flooding in. And those that live near the path that are hearing about it and need to get in the path to see the total eclipse. He further explains how the National Guard will be responsible for managing crowd control, traffic flow, and ensuring that everyone follows safety protocols during the eclipse. Their presence is aimed at preventing any potential chaos or safety hazards that could arise from the massive gathering of people. Additionally, he explained why some people are telling Texans to stock up on 2 weeks' worth of supplies ahead of the eclipse. 2 weeks. So, you know, this is where the rational Isaac comes in. I say, well, that's good. I want people in places prepared in case some things go awry. You know what I mean? But then you got to put on the conspiracy hat and say, oh, really? Well, what's going to go awry? Here's the problem. Have you met human beings? They're pretty stupid. And when you got a lot of human beings together, they do really stupid things. That's a fact, right? Look at concert. Look at, what's that? Woodstock 99. So I thought, okay, let's go somewhere else. Okay, the Oklahoma National Guard's military website. Here we go. That's what we want. Straight from the source. McMurtin County Emergency Management requested our support because they expect up to 100,000 additional people visiting their communities to watch the eclipse, said the commander, Lieutenant Colonel Fleury. This influx of visitors has the potential to overtax local resources, and thanks to the training and experience our guardsmen have working alongside local agencies all across Oklahoma, the CST is uniquely qualified to support our fellow Oklahomans. In the event of a hazmat emergency like an industrial fire that requires specialized training, the 63rd CST's resources will respond, allowing local emergency responders to continue their assistance to citizens and the expected increase of visitors. So, National Guard, what's the verdict here? Well, it seems like they're saying officially it's for the influx of visitors. Now, does that check out? Absolutely. Of course. Of course that checks out. It's true. When I went up to Idaho and came back, we sat in traffic. It was just a few-hour drive, but the traffic made it like a 12-hour drive. It was insane. It sounds like that's the stuff the National Guard does. I'm not tripping on that. And not to mention, and I was in the military. I served. You take an oath to the Constitution. You don't take an oath to the President or Congress. No, it's the Constitution. So people that are worried that Joe Biden or Donald Trump is going to do this, that, or the other, according to the oath, that's not the way it's supposed to go. All right. What was homeboy talking about with a devil comet? Let's go to space.com. An unusual horned comet is now visible in the night sky and may even make a rare appearance during the total eclipse on April 8th. The comet 12P/Pons-Brooks can currently be seen in the night skies of the northern hemisphere. Comets composed of dust, rock, and ices heat up and expel gas when their orbits bring them closer to the sun, creating a glowing halo around the comet itself, known as a coma. Outbursts observed from Comet 12P gave it a horned-like appearance, earning it nicknames such as Devil Comet and Millennium Falcon. This particular comet visits the inner solar system every 71 years. It will make its closest approach to the sun on April 21st, passing 74 million miles. Within 74 million miles of our star, this means the comet will be fairly close to the sun during the total solar eclipse of April 8th. So, yes, there's a devil's comet. Is it related to Satan? No, it has to do with the scientific appearance of a horns, apparently. Now, does that dismiss it as part of the theory? No, I don't think it does, because the Illuminati occultists, they very much are heavy into astrological moments and symbolism, as well as the ideas of synchromysticism, which we'll come back to a little bit later. So, verdict? I don't know. It's a thing. Is it the devil? No. Now let's talk about earthquakes. He references the 1811 New Madrid earthquakes, and that was a real thing that happened in America around the modern-day state of Missouri, which I don't think the eclipse has gone through. Maybe it is. Has it gone through Missouri? I don't know. And these earthquakes happened December 16th, 1811, January 23rd, 1812, and February 7th, 1812. And I cross-referenced this to Wikipedia, which has a list of every eclipse in America, and it shows one on March 24th, 1811, which is nowhere near those other dates. Then it had a partial and an annular, which those don't match up either. So I thought, seems like fake news here. I went to newmadrid.mo.us. It says the earthquakes were preceded by the appearance of a great comet, which was visible around the globe for 17 months and was at its brightest during the earthquakes. The comet, and it talks about the comet and Ramses and blah, 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 blah. What we want to know about the eclipse. All right, so they talk about this, that, and the other. Okay, so they talk about this Native American tribal leader and this religious leader called the Prophet who had gained fame when he foretold the total eclipse of the sun on June 16th, 1806. They learned about it in advance from a team of visiting astronomers. So debunked already, I guess. During this time, the governor of Indiana Territory, William Henry Harrison, worried about the Prophet's popularity and challenged him to produce a miracle. After the day of the black sun, the brothers had no trouble attracting followers. Black Sun was said to predict a future war. That's alarming. On September 17th, 1811, there was another solar eclipse, which again was predicted by the prophet. So yes, there was an eclipse. Wait a minute, let me bump that up. September 17th, 1811. Okay, there was an annular eclipse. Okay, not a total eclipse. And that wasn't on the day of the earthquake. That was still before the earthquake. So you could argue there was eclipses, a total and an annular, which means a partial, I think, prior to the earthquakes. Is there a cause and effect there? I don't know. But yes, there was an eclipse. A little flimsy to say that it's kicking off these earthquakes because it didn't happen at the same time. But it's true that eclipses were a sign of doom and destruction. Or angry gods by these pagan cultures. Or they believed in an evil entity swallowing up the sun and the rebirth of the sun god happening after the sun came back. So the verdict there, flimsy, but kinda, right? Depends on how much of a conspiracy theorist you want to be. Now, I do worry about the prophecy of it predicting a future war, especially given that we've got Alex Garland's Civil War movie coming out and all these social media warriors talking about how they can't wait for the big war to happen. It's like, come on, can we not do that? Please, please don't do that to us. Moving on, let's talk about Tom Horn and the intelligence documents. So on the Alex Jones video by Greg Reese, there's talk of these different documents that Tom Horn apparently was discussing. Tom Horn is, I think he just died not too long ago. He was kind of more of a Christian conspiracy theorist, I guess is maybe the best description. I'm not a massive student of his work, but I've read a lot of his stuff, and he's got some good, interesting ideas and things. And, you know, he had a book, I think it's called Apollyon Rising or something. But anyway, I learned about the resurrection of Osiris ritual that they do in Washington, D.C. through Tom Horn, I believe is who that was. Anyway, he says there's these documents that basically support this theory. And I looked up the first one, for example, and it's the theory about, like, going back to the video, let's see what he said here. Talked about how these intelligence agencies said that this was all going to happen in the year 2025, about referring to Manly P. Hall's Masonic American Secret Destiny, where they were going to have this king descended from a divine race, which we're going to cover here soon. And that's a pretty bold claim. I said, okay, so the intelligence agencies talk about this wild stuff happening in 2025. Okay. And I think the point he was trying to make was that there are these intelligence documents, and they do cite the year 2025 as an important year, I guess. But I looked up the one, Global Governance 2025, and yes, there's intelligence agency stuff on there. It's from the EU's ISS and then the U.S. National Intelligence Council. It was written in 2010, and it talks about long-term prospects for global governance frameworks. I'm going to read to you a little bit from it. It says, the U.S. and the EU do not always see eye to eye on every issue on the international agenda, but they share fundamental values and strategic interests to an extent not matched by any other partners in the world. Transatlantic agreement is no longer enough to effectively manage global challenges. Doing so will require renewed efforts to address governance gaps and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Global governing ideas. It's kind of like the Great Reset, right? There's these people that think on this global level about connecting different economies and governments and all this stuff. But I don't see anything about eclipses or divine race kings. I don't see anything about Manly P. Hall. So the verdict on this one for me is weak. That's weak, I think. Of course, 2025 is a pivotal year. In my book, The Dark Path, I talked about how the chief scientist at NASA said that was when we were going to prove the existence of aliens, and that's next year. Not to mention the eclipse is in 2024, not 2025, why are we even talking about it, right? I think Tom Horn was, in my preferences of conspiracy, a little overzealous on the Christian angle. But some of his stuff's good, right? It's like Alex Jones, right? I'm definitely not saying that they're an idiot or they don't know what they're talking about. I just think that their filter is not my filter. That's all I'm saying. Same thing. I don't let Alex Jones or Tom Horn, the the fear aspect of their message doesn't come through to me. I'm not letting it ruin my life. Let's talk about Manly P. Hall. He makes a claim that Manly P. Hall said there was a divine race and a king destined to rule America. I actually have a copy of Secret Destiny of America, and in Chapter 5, I'm going to read to you from it. A description of the lost Atlantis was written by Plato. A lot of these occultists are what they call Neoplatonists. It goes back through a lot of theories and ideas of Plato. It introduces the league formed by the 10 benevolent kings who ruled over the lesser nations in the three great continents of Europe, Asia, and Africa, and who bound themselves by oath to obey divine laws of an enduring empire. This was the philosophic democracy, with all men having the right to become wise through self-discipline and self-improvement, thus achieving the only aristocracy recognized by natural law. The Atlantis story continues to the later decision of the kings to use their united power to enslave all the peoples of the earth and the consequent destruction of Atlantis by earthquake and fire. Interpreted politically, it is the story of the breaking up of the ideal pattern of government. Then if you read later on in that same chapter, they talk about the king, this divine race king that apparently the eclipse is going to trigger. I guess that's the theory here. It says the king was the father of his people, impersonal and unselfish, dedicated to the public good, a servant of both the gods and his fellow men. The king was descended of a divine race. That is, he belonged to the order of the illumined. For those who come to a state of wisdom then belong to the family of the heroes, perfected human beings. Plato's monarchy was therefore a philosophic democracy, for all men had the right to become wise through self-discipline and self-improvement. So he's basically talking about the Illuminati king, right? So that part is true. Manly P. Hall did talk about how they're waiting for the divine Illuminati king. I'm still waiting to see which potential leader is this unselfish one dedicated to public good, because as far as I see, you don't get that too much. They're more interested in corporate lobbyists and military industrial complex. So I'm not tripping on this prophecy being fulfilled next year. But it is interesting. We're in an election year in 24, which means they would instill potentially a new leader in January of 2025. So, I mean, we'll see. Is Biden or Trump the unselfish one dedicated to public good? I'll let you decide how way you want to believe there. Next, he talks about the letters Aleph and Tav, these Hebrew letters that are formed by the paths of the eclipses. And I'll put an image of what I'm talking about. Look on my Instagram, Instagram.com/IsaacWiseup. And while you're on there, tell me what you think about all this stuff. I Google the letters Aleph, and I see what looks like an N, which is nothing like the image of the eclipse map. But there is a Paleo-Hebrew letter, Aleph, that comes up that looks like this eclipse path, which if you're trying to figure out what I'm talking about, it's like a sideways A. And if you go to paleohebrewdictionary.org, it says the letter Aleph is the first letter in the Afro-Asiatic language known as the Paleo-Hebrew. The letter has been equated with both the letter A and the letter E in the English language. And it says the meaning, and there's four meanings for this Aleph. There's singular, plural, possessive, and signature. They each look a little different. This one in particular looks like the singular version. And it says the meaning in Masoretic Hebrew is strength, power, apostolic, chief, leader, pillar, oak tree, and ram. All right. Now, this other letter that he's pointing out on the map is Tav. And again, it's basically an X. There's four versions in Hebrew. There's the early Hebrew, middle, late, and modern Hebrew. The only one that looks like the X is the middle age Hebrew. And it says the letter Tau is the 22nd letter in the Afro-Asiatic language known as Paleo-Hebrew. The letter has been equated with the letter T and the letter X in the English language. And it means mark, sign, covenant, signature, identification of people, places, or things. Now, you could argue that if you add the put these two letters together, it means the sign of the covenant and a leader. That's kind of what Manly P. Hall is talking about with this king. What's the verdict there? I don't know. Dicey. But it's not wrong. I mean, if you look at it through this very narrow lens, you could say that the symbols of the paths, but then the question is why? And I think the only thing that would make sense for that theory is synchromysticism, which we'll talk about here soon in our conclusion. Next, NASA. They're shooting rockets into the sun. Oh my God. Now, what the video says is that they're doing occult rituals for the New Age of Atlantis, and they named it after this Egyptian snake god, Apep, to devour the sun god, Ra, and we're talking about the rebirth of Horus, with the sun coming back after the eclipse. Let's look at what NASA says on their website, though, folks. It says a NASA-sounding rocket mission will launch three rockets. Wait a minute. I'm looking at my notes here. It says during the 2023 annular eclipse in October. Okay, well, let's keep reading. Maybe I looked at the wrong thing here, folks. Hold on here, folks. I got late breaking news. It says they're going to study... Yeah, this isn't the right one because I read a couple other ones. I took the wrong notes here. But they talk about the 2023 annular solar eclipse. They also launched three rockets back then and we didn't die. So there you go. But October 14th, 2023, viewers of the annual eclipse in Americas will experience the sun dimming, yada, 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 leaving the ring of fire. You already know that. Okay, here's the more correct one. A NASA sounding rocket mission will launch three rockets to study how the sudden drop in sunlight affects our upper atmosphere. The mission, known as the Atmospheric Perturbations Around the Eclipse Path, or APEP, is led by Aero Barigiata, a professional of engineering physics. Yeah. And we're going to come back to that Pertabo. Hang on a second. I got to make a note. Things are coming to me. My stream of consciousness is coming to me. Some 50 miles up and beyond, the air itself becomes electric. Scientists call this atmospheric layer the ionosphere because it is where the UV component of sunlight can pry electrons away from atoms to form a sea of high-flying ions and electrons, which is basically how current works. I have a master's in systems engineering from Penn State. I am an expert on this subject. Not this one, but not the ionosphere, but prying electrons loose is how electrical current works, basically. The sun's constant energy keeps these mutually attracted particles separated throughout the day. But as the sun dips below the horizon, many recombine into neutral atoms for the night, only to part ways again at sunrise. During a solar eclipse, the sunlight vanishes and reappears over a small part of the landscape almost at once. In a flash, ionospheric temperature and density drop and then rise again, sending waves rippling through the ionosphere. Now, so what they're doing, you know, there's a band named Perturbator, but I swore that if you looked it up, there was Aleister Crowley went by this name, did he not? I'll have to look that up. Maybe I'll get back to you here in a minute. But during the solar eclipse, they're basically going to emulate what happens at night. Now, my question is, can they just do these rocket experiments during a regular day when the sun's at night, when it's dimming? But apparently they're curious about specifically what happens during the solar eclipse, if it's maybe the same effect on the ionosphere. Because they use the ionosphere to bounce signals off, which is why, don't quote me, I'm going way back to my college education, which is why you hear AM radio signals clearer at night, because it bounces off of this ionosphere, which is energized, because the sun isn't destroying the connections. That's how I understand it. That's how you get to hear me on Coast to Coast, folks, AM. Anyway, so let's talk about the occult religion of Apep here, of ancient Egypt. Apep is the Egyptian deity who embodied darkness and disorder. Its Greek version is called Apophis. But anyways, it's the opposer of light and the opposer of order, which is represented by Ra, the sun god. So when you've got the sun versus this, the moon, basically, the moon's going to destroy the sun for a second during the black sun, during the eclipse. And then the sun regains power right after. Now, if Apophis sounds familiar, I believe there was an asteroid that was going to hit us, or they thought it had a higher percentage of hitting us, and then it didn't. Anyways, the belief that Ra was the sun and the force of order, as opposed to chaos, which is represented by Apep, the snake, the serpent, the dragon force, the serpent force of chaos, and it was also held at bay by Set, the adversarial force. Now, this goes into the occult history. If you read Mark Booth's book, The Secret History of the World, he talks about how the serpent or the Saturnian force is represented as this dragon swirling in the outer reaches of our universe, waiting to attack the sun. You could argue they're equating the ideas of chaos here with that outer force. And this goes back to the occult ideas of the early formation of our universe. It gets kind of weird. But let's talk about the occultists. Peter Lavenda wrote a book called The Dark Lord, where he talks about Apophis being aligned with the devil, which you could argue here is obviously Apep. And this tribe that they call the Yazidis in Africa, I believe, they're Satanists. And he says they're all misunderstood, because that's what every Satanist says. This worshiping of Satan's all misunderstood. And to them, this serpent force is the forces of enlightenment leading man to his own liberation, which is a lot of what Manly P. Hall is talking about in Secret Destiny of America, right? But specifically, Apophis has to do with the opening of the chakras and the Kundalini energy. Let me read you from The Dark Lord. The portals that lead to the inner chambers of Yazidi shrines are usually adorned with carvings of snakes. The snake is shown as rising up from the ground and appears as a vertical decoration of the right-hand side of the entrance. The appearance of a snake in this context further led observers to believe that there was something vaguely satanic about the Yazidis, since the serpent is a symbol of evil and the devil in Judeo-Christian religions. It was the serpent who tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, leading to the fall of humanity from paradise. In Egypt, of course, it was identified with Apophis, the evil creature intent on devouring the bark of Ra. But in Indian yoga and tantra, the serpent represents the coiled energy at the base of the spine known as the Kundalini. The fact that the Yazidi serpent is depicted vertically alongside the entrance may be further circumstantial evidence of a connection with Indian beliefs, as a vertical serpent would be an obvious reference to the raising of Kundalini, which is the goal of Kundalini yoga. Then later on, he talks about how this connects to an Aleister Crowley ritual called the Star Sapphire. In Set's defense of Ra's solar bark, and this is related because Set keeps Apep at bay to protect Ra. All right. In Set's defense of Ra's solar bark, his violence is put to good use in service of the pantheon, and he is triumphant there as well. He destroys a serpent god, Apep or Apophis. In the Star Sapphire ritual, it may be that the transgressive powers of Set are first identified and then employed in an act designed to bring the adept in contact with his holy guardian angel. As Crowley himself seems to suggest in Chapter 69 of the Book of Lies, which I've read is saying the Bible is the Book of Lies, where the subject of the hexagram is discussed in terms that are patently sexual and obvious, including an explicit reference to the sexual position known as 69. Now, if you read Mario Visconti's The Aleister Crowley Manual, there's a section where they talk about the Star Sapphire. I ironically got into a what's the right term? A discussion with Mario Visconti on Twitter the other day, because my boy Nick Hinton posted some eclipse conspiracy content And Mario, the author of the Aleister Crowley manual there, was mocking it. And I said, what's wrong about it? It all checks out because everything he said was factual. And he was very snarky and didn't really answer the question. And I don't know, whatever, dude. I said, and it just goes to show that any fervent religious person isn't that enlightened. Not any. Many religious people are not that enlightened. You know, I pick on Christians and evangelicals for not following the teachings of Christ and being jerks to people in the same way that I'll pick on this guy. Like, if you're going to be a jerk to people that are just trying to learn, I don't know what to tell you, dude. Your religion clearly doesn't have that big of an influence on you to be a better person. So why would I follow that? You know what I mean? Same way I pick on Christians who don't show up the right way and are mean people. Like, you're turning people away from Christianity. I hope you know you have to answer for that if you do believe in Christ. That you have to answer for that in the afterlife, why you turned your brothers and sisters away from your father, you know? But it's like, this is the kind of things that turn people off. The same way it's like, okay, well, you Thelemites that are so woke, you apparently aren't that nice. But, you know, there's nasty people everywhere. That's fine. You know, I respect his work. Same with Peter Lavenda. I respect his work too. There's experts, and we need to learn from the experts. Okay, so Mario, that's enough drama. The Aleister Crowley manual, it talks about the star sapphire, and it says that in Crowley's Liber V1, what is that? 306? I don't know. Whatever. There's a chapter 25 that's a revised pentagram ritual, 25 being 5x5, of course, for the star ruby. Then there's chapter 36, which is a 6x6 ritual for the star sapphire, a hexagram ritual. And Crowley called it the real and perfect ritual of the hexagram. And the mundane understanding here for the normies like me when it comes to occult stuff, it's only for those who have already made contact with their holy guardian angel, and it's all about sex magic. Thus, there are two people involved, and there's all these positions. There's four positions, and it's like the female on her knees, the male on his knees, and then a couple of missionary, standing positions. Looks like a nightmare for those two. But it relates into sex magic, because that's what it's all about. It's playing with these forces, right? And speaking of sex magic, let's go into CERN, because that was brought up too. CERN's firing up that old hadron, trying to open up a gateway, a portal. Maybe. We've talked about CERN many times in the past, so I'm not going to go too deep into CERN on this episode. Go to July of 2022. We did Sex Magic Part 1 and 2. We talked about CERN there. If you're a supporter, if you're not a free feed loser, you're a supporter winner. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, folks. Take it easy. But on the Patreon supporter feeds and all that, we had a bonus show about CERN's alchemical wedding in July of 2022. Because they were firing up the Large Hadron, and we were all bugging out back then. And we discussed the Higgs boson particle and dark matter and bridges between the world of light and dark and how they were messing with all this stuff, as they will continue to do, apparently, on the eclipse. Also, in November 21, we talked about it with Astral World Part 3 after the Travis Scott deal, because his set had what looked like his, or the stage had what looked like the CERN portal, the Swiss Goddard Tunnel, which, if you know anything about that, lots more you could dig deep on. But let's talk about CERN on April 8th. And look, I'm going to tell you straight up, I'm not even tripping. I have no idea what they're doing. I don't understand it. I've read through it. The best guess I can understand it is they're trying to fix some timing issues, according to a new IEEE standard. Whatever. I'll read a little bit, but you're not going to get it either, probably. From Wikipedia, and that's not a diss, I'm just saying, who knows this stuff? Nerds at work at CERN. And we are supposed to trust them? My God. The name of the project is White Rabbit. Okay, and you already know that's Illuminate Confirm, right? It says White Rabbit is the name of a collaborative project between CERN, GSI, and other partners and universities and industry to develop a fully deterministic Ethernet-based network for general-purpose data transfer and sub-nanosecond accuracy time transfer. Its initial use was as a timing distribution network for control and data acquisition timing of the accelerator sites at CERN, as well as GSI's FAIR project. The hardware designs, as well as the source code, are publicly available. The name of the project is a reference to the White Rabbit appearing in Lewis Carroll's novel Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Boom. Illuminate confirmed. That's Occult 101, the story of Alice in Wonderland. I've written a book about this. Boy, it's a subject, right? And the whole idea, I'll give you the short version. In terms of occult initiation, Alice, she's led underground by the White Rabbit. That's the hermit, that's the initiate teacher. Takes her underground where she faces death, and then she comes back above ground, newly enlightened into the occult ways of thinking. She faces death. It's a death and rebirth ritual, okay? It's the most classic one of them all. And remember the Q stuff, which I'm not a Q guy. I think that was a bunch of nonsense. But they were talking about following the White Rabbit all the time. And the question is, where's that White Rabbit leading? Is it taking people down the wrong path? I don't know. Now, what is curious is that my boy Nick Hinton said that they announced this on March 22nd. And I thought, isn't that interesting? We literally just did a show about the Georgia Guidestones and the symbolic references of 322, which is basically a reference to Genesis 322, man becoming God through technology. My goodness. Can you believe it? So this White Rabbit project is kicking off April 12th during the eclipse. They're going to be smashing protons together to search for invisible particles secretly powering our universe, is what they say. Moving on to what I found to be probably the most interesting topic and the last one, the Israeli red heifers. I'm going to read you from Wiki. The red heifer, a female bovine which has never been pregnant or milked or yoked, also known as the red cow, was a cow brought to the priest as a sacrifice according to the Torah, and its ashes were used for the ritual purification of corpse uncleanness. That is, an Israelite who had come into contact with a human corpse, human bone, or grave. I'll be honest, it's very confusing still. I go to CBS News. Let's see what the normie mainstream media is trying to tell us. When Hamas spokesman Abu Abada began a speech marking the 100th day of the war in Gaza, one confounding yet eye-opening proclamation escaped the headlines, which they write at CBS, don't they? Listing the motives for the Palestinian militant group's October 7th massacre in Israel, he accused you-know-whos of bringing red cows to the Holy Land. The cows he was talking about are red heifers, which now graze at a secure, undisclosed location in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Some you-know-whos and Christians believe they're key to and the reason I'm saying you-know-whos is because this is a sensitive topic, right? I don't get into it much. I think there's enough blame to go around on all these folks over there. In fact, you'd be lying if you didn't know that you start saying names like this and people start freaking out here and there. I mean, it's a fact. Take from that whatever you will. We got to love each other. People of all races and religions. Remember, you know, I was stationed in South Korea during 9/11. And I, like most Americans, became very frightened of, Muslims, right? And since then, I've met 3 Muslim guys, because I live in Utah. There's not a lot of Muslims out here, that are some of the greatest people I've ever met. Vinny Paz from one of my favorite rap groups of all time, Jedi Mind Tricks, he's Muslim. Mike Tyson, I don't know if he's still Muslim, but he was Muslim at the time. Greatest fighter ever. So, it's not all Muslims are terrorists. It's not all you-know-whos are terrorists either. So it's hard to have these discussions and point out, people are like, yeah, but there's a lot of them in places of power. And it's like, I don't know. Again, massive subject, triggering subject. Let's just all love each other, okay? And just know that, not every one of these different people are terrible people. These are massive amounts of people in these religions. Same with Christians, right? Some Christians do terrible things. Doesn't mean all Christians are bad. That's stupid. That's bigoted thinking. We don't think like that here. But I will not be saying the name. Because I don't... Look, your boy's not trying to get canceled. I already got canceled a bunch of times. I'm not trying to get canceled again. All right, back to the story. The cows he was talking about are... Okay, yeah. Some you-know-whos and Christians believe that these red heifers are key to rebuilding the temple that once stood in Jerusalem and to beckoning the Messiah. To understand, you have to look back almost 2,000 years of tumultuous history of the Middle East when the ancient Romans destroyed the last temple in Jerusalem. To rebuild it, fervent believers point to the Bible's Book of Numbers, which commands the Israelites to offer a red heifer without defect or blemish that has never been under a yoke. Only with that offering, they insist, can the temple rise again. Instrumental in bringing the heifers to the Holy Land was Yitzhak Mamo of Un Jerusalem, a group committed to seeing a new temple built in Jerusalem's old city. He told CBS News, you can check to see if they have any white or black hairs, because they have to have all red hairs, apparently. Explaining that any hair that isn't red would disqualify the cow from fulfilling their prophesied role. There you go. Finding the red heifers took years. The quest led Mamo not to you-know-who-ish breeders, but to Christian ranchers thousands of miles away. After a long search, we found them in Texas, he said. Texas Red Angus. To bypass strict laws in place at the time that banned the export of U.S. cattle to Israel, the heifers were classified as pets, Mamo said with a laugh. But to those following biblical commandments, the cows are no laughing matter, he added, stressing this is not a publicity stunt. He said, Harry Potter is a good story. The Bible is not a story. The Bible is a way of God to lead us. But while they're classed as pets, there are no plans to let the red heifers live out long, happy lives. A massive white altar awaits, where they are to be burned on a plot of land overlooking the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. Mamo said the ceremony must be performed looking directly into where the ancient Second Temple stood until it was destroyed by the Romans in year 70. What Mamo didn't mention is what stands in the temple's place now, the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque, which are among the holiest sites in Islam. It's alarming, right? What's the verdict? The verdict is totally true on the red heifer thing. I mean, they must be worried it's going to happen any time now if they're shipping red heifers from Texas. And look, this is a massive subject. You got to, again, more homework for you if you're new to this show. I did a show called The Apocalypse, End Times, and the Occult Part 1, War in Israel, Rebuilding Solomon's Temple, and Knights Templar. Because this goes way deep into the evangelical Illuminati confirms. They think they could tell. Basically, the evangelicals and the you-know-whos are in league together to try to rebuild Solomon's Temple to trigger the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to come back down to rapture up all the good ones and prove. And what's crazy is the evangelicals think when Jesus comes back after they determine God's ready to come back, which is insane, they think that the you-know-whos will see Jesus and repent and say, oh my goodness, we were wrong the whole time. But the you-know-whos and the evangelicals make these strange bedfellows. It's a very strange subject, but you got to check out that. When did I release that? I don't know. Around October, I think, of 23, when all this stuff was popping off. So in conclusion, I do believe the elites use astrological events to make changes on Earth. This is ritual magic on some level, utilizing various forces. I do believe that it happens. Another idea we didn't discuss is the alchemical black sun. This symbolism of the eclipse and the black sun shows up in many forms of pop culture entertainment. Avatar 2, Kanye West employs it in Donda 2 and the Ye Vultures video and all this stuff. And the black sun represents the dissolution of the body, the destruction of matter, the dissolving of the material, right? If you go to Stan Marlin's book on the black sun of alchemy, he talks about how the black sun is about exploring the dark subconscious, the shadow realm. And the initiate enters this dark realm, which is why Kanye's concerts are very dark, and everyone goes on this alchemical journey.
right?
The Nazis also used it at Wevelsburg. They thought it was a mystical energy source. But where I put all this together is I think that this relates to synchro mysticism, and it's gets a little bit weirder. But the point being is that I always try to lean into the positive on this kind of stuff. The White Lodge, as we would say in our Twin Peaks Gray Lodge deep dive shows on Patreon. Because me and Josie Weishaupt went up to the 2017 Great Eclipse up in Idaho. And it was a very profound experience. And I almost didn't go. Everyone was talking about it. Everyone was also saying, man, there's going to be so much traffic. It's going to be a nightmare. You couldn't get a hotel room. I mean, everything was crazy expensive. You had to pay money to park out in fields and stuff. But at the last minute, I said, man, we should go. And then we had a friend who, you know, synchronistically said, hey, you can stay at my grandma's place. She lived up in Rexburg, Idaho. She's in a nursing home or something. I thought, all right, let's do it. So we drove, packed up the dogs. We drove up to Rexburg, Idaho. And, you know, I still was like, man, should we have done this? Then the next morning comes around. We go to do the eclipse thing. We got our little glasses. It happens. Everyone's cheering. And I'll tell you what, I felt connection with humanity. I felt my place in the universe. God's providing of this beautiful earth and this world and this experience, which I do believe our spirits and our souls are in this body on this earth to experience this sort of realm for a time being and limited time. And when we die, we then go to the other realm where things will make more sense to us, which is also why I don't believe in this whole idea of man becoming immortal. I don't think that was God's true vision and true intention. I think the Tower of Babel story was real about man making technology to try to make himself become God, and they're still doing it to this day. And that wasn't the purpose, so that's why people get the smite. They get the smackdown. But here's my thing when it comes specifically to this next one. To live in fear and to be sitting here listening to too many conspiracies, like, oh my God, it's got to be the Red Heifer and the National Guard military, fascist streets, and I don't know. Like, people are worried about stuff. But that's living in fear. And if you live in fear, you might as well not even be alive. There's no point. You got Brené Brown did a fantastic piece on vulnerability, and that's what we're talking about. You got to be vulnerable to love. You got to be vulnerable to live. If you're just sitting here protecting yourself, worried in your little doomsday bunker, what's the point? What are you doing? You know? It's like you hear in Dune and Phantasm. You hear it in Dune and Phantasm, the philosophy. Fear is the little death, because that's exactly what it is. You're not living. And I try to choose, to live in the White Lodge of love. That's what Twin Peaks teaches us. Christ taught us to love each other. Why would we sit here in fear and stressing out about people trying to get one over on us, stockpiling ammo so you can kill everybody in your doomsday bunker? That's not living in a state of abundance and love. That's not the way to live. You're not supposed to live that way. Sitting here worried about someone getting one over on a food stamp or whatever. You know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's, you know, of course, like, hedge your bets. Be prepared in case. Like, you always should be prepared, right? Take care of you and your family. You can have some guns and ammo. I do. You can have some backup food. I do. Some backup water. That's a great idea. In 2020, during the pandemic, in Utah here, the electricity, we had no power for like 5 days. It sucked. But luckily, we had been prepared enough to handle that. So it's good to be prepared. You got to be smart about things, but don't let it fill you full of fear and make you not enjoy certain moments, right? Enjoy the eclipse if you can. This God's little 4th of July fireworks show for us. And, you know, if you're scared, go to church. So there you go. That was that's my breakdown on the Great Eclipse. If you're in a position to enjoy it, enjoy it. Be careful, of course, you know, because there's nutty people out there, so it's not. But it's not as scary as people want to make you believe it is, right? So there you go. Hope you enjoyed that show. If you're new to the show, hit the subscribe button. I'm popping off stuff for Will. Like I said, this is what, 600 some shows I've done, pop culture, occult symbolism, taking a critical look at conspiracy theories. Like, that's what we do here, right? I give you clarity on how to live your life better, because I want to live a better life and I want you guys to join me. So subscribe to the show. If you like the show, leave a 5-star review, because I got 1-star haters that don't get it and we need to silence them. So drop me a 5-star if you like the show. If you love the show, become a supporter. Get off that free feed loser status and sign up. Links are always in the show notes. The most popular option is patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Nipping on its heels is the Apple Premium Podcast, because all you do is mash a button and you're in. And then you got my VIP section, which can be your cheapest one if you don't mind jumping through a couple hoops. And for the time being, I'm still sending out videos for the VIP section at IlluminatiWatcher.com. Hit that VIP tab up top. Check it out. I'll send you a video and I will talk to you for a minute about how to get it. What, you know, I basically send a little thank you video and say, here's what you got to do to get this thing hooked up. I love you so much. You look great tonight. That kind of thing. So anyway, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for supporting. Until next time, stay positive.